Hey everyone, this is Phil Frost, co-founder of Main Street ROI, and welcome to your Insider Marketing Secrets interview of the month. This month, our topic is how to use guest blogging to get more leads. My guest is Rishi Shah, co-founder of Digio, and an expert on blogging and email marketing. Here at Main Street ROI, we're always telling you to grow your email list. Your email list of prospects and customers is one of the most valuable assets you can ever develop in your business. But what's the best way to grow your list? Well, that's where Rishi comes in. In this interview, you're going to discover how to use guest blogging to grow your email newsletter list. I love Rishi's strategy because it helps you grow your email list while also positioning yourself as a leading expert in your market. Ever since I learned these strategies from Rishi, we've been implementing them in our own business with great results. And I want you to get these kinds of results too. So without further ado, let's dive in.
All right, today we've got Rishi Shah here. He's going to talk about how to use guest blog posts to build your email list. And Rishi has a lot of experience doing this. He's been featured in Business Week, Forbes, U.S. News, Entrepreneur, and Odd Startups. So he knows a thing or two about how to get guest blog posts in some of the top media sites online, in addition to going after some of the small local industry news type sites that you might want to go after. So Rishi, if you could just start out, give a little bit of background about you and your business.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and thanks for all the readers listening to me out there. Phil just mentioned a bunch of big sites like Business Week and Forbes, and that's great, but usually most of my readers, the way I've built this list actually is through smaller sites. So I don't want to scare anyone off there right away by mentioning these big flashy sites. It always impresses people, but really the way I've, to really build really big lists is to go after these targeted niche sites. So that's what we'll be going into hopefully in this interview. But I don't want to throw anyone off here by mentioning Forbes and Business Week. But yeah, to answer your question, Phil, a little bit of background. I started two companies. My first business was started 6 years ago. It was called flyingcart.com. It's still around, still doing well. And it's an easy way to create an online store, and we have about 12,000 total online stores using our services so far. And the second business I built, we launched about a year ago, called Digio, and we help people collect leads. And it kind of grew out of a personal problem that I had with guest blogging. So I'm excited to tell you guys more about that as well. And this company, we partnered with a few bigger companies called AWeber and MailChimp, and we have about 3,000 total accounts using that service with about 20,000 emails being sent per month for our customers. So it's getting a little bigger and a lot more fun. So that's a little bit about me.
Okay, great. Yeah, that's impressive that you're sending that many emails through Digio in such a short amount of time.
Thanks.
Just to kind of set the stage here, if you could just kind of touch on why email marketing is so important.
So I actually discovered email marketing a little late in the game, which, I wish I discovered it earlier. The biggest reason I found it useful for my own personal business and my blog and branding is it really, people just forget about you at the end of the day. If you think about it, how many things you have going on in your life. My example, I have family, and I have all this other stuff on my mind. Literally after 2 hours of going on a website, I will forget that I went to the website. So if I can acquire someone's email address and then, email them every few days or a few weeks or even a few months, it gives me a chance to keep the communication open, keep my business to the top of their mind, because they definitely check their email every day. They're not going to be going to my website every day. So my whole strategy actually changed when I discovered email marketing and the power of it. So it went from get people to my site to do whatever it takes to get an email address, like offer a free account, offer a free ebook, give something of value for an email address. That way I can keep communicating with them as long as possible. And it really helped, it really turned things around for me in terms of my business.
Okay, great. And then more specifically then, so email marketing, obviously it's critical. You want to stay top of mind. You want to be able to follow up with prospects, nurture them until they're ready to buy. Now, the focus of this interview is building your email list through guest blog posts, and if you could explain why you found that to be kind of the best strategy that you've tested.
Yeah, so I have found that, so I first started doing guest blog posts just for SEO. That's where it all started. I was like, okay, how can I build more links? And there was a time where you could just go to people's sites and be like, hey, let's exchange links. But that door has kind of been slowly closing. Like, people just don't want to do that anymore. At least that's what I found. And what's cool is if you go to someone and say, hey, I have this great piece of content. I'm a great writer. I'm kind of an expert in this field. Can I just write on your huge blog? And one, I'm giving you content, so they're really happy because I'm giving them something. And then they're giving me access to all the readers that they have established over like the last few years that they've been growing. So I would just reach out to people that had, you know, for me, the bar was really low at first. It was anyone with over 100 readers, I'm willing to do it. Now I've set the bar a little higher, at 2,000 readers per month. And still, you know, I keep upping the bar and I keep finding better blogs to reach out to. And at start, it was just building links. It was just getting more SEO. And then and when I learned about email marketing, then I found that if you can grab someone's email address, then you can communicate with them after they read your blog post. You know, if you have a free offering of some sort. So that's when the whole guest blog post plus email marketing kicked in, when I learned that secret. And that made guest blog posts 6 times more effective. And I say 6 times because we actually measured it, and it was just a lot more effective because collecting those email addresses and communicating with them over and over again.
So you said 6 times. Did you actually, you measured that, and can you elaborate on that a little bit more?
Yeah, so for example, what we were doing before is we would just have a link, and I would put some like UTM parameters so I would know exactly what blog post they came in from. And then, you know, what most people would do is they would go to read my guest blog post, and they come to my company website or my blog, and they'd read it, and then, you know, very few times they would actually subscribe on my blog or my website or sign up for an account. But when you do a guest blog post, and at the end there's like, hey, download our free coupon, or, you know, get a free account by signing up here, and I would collect their email address, and I knew exactly where they came from, like what guest blog post they came from and why they came, and then I sent them an email afterwards saying like, hey, thanks for checking out my guest blog post. Here's some more information they might be interested in, you know, here's a little bit more about me. And then, I would pretty much continue it on over like several weeks, and I would be able to get them to sign up for my service or my site or my blog or subscribe to my newsletter from there.
You're tracking that with Google, and you could...
Yeah, exactly. We're pretty much just tracking it via... Can you repeat that?
I was just repeating the stat there. You know, you track that through Google Analytics, and actually saw a six times more people would opt in to, you know, request more information from you and allow you to follow up.
Yeah, exactly. Just by having a simple offer at the end of the guest blog post, it just became a lot easier.
Okay, cool. And you kind of, I guess you basically went through an example, but could you, walk us through a little bit more of the details of how guest blogging has helped your company? And it, you know, I guess this is pretty redundant, but if there's any more you want to touch on that topic,
yeah,
or maybe a client example.
Yeah, I have a few examples. I guess the one I love to talk about, if I can give you more in-depth information, is my own blog. I have a blog called gettingmoreawesome.com where I talk about marketing tips. And really, I started about two and a half years ago, and the only readers were pretty much me and, you know, maybe my mom when I would forward her the emails. But I had maybe 50 to 100 emails on my email distribution list, so very, very small size. And this guy, Ramit Sethi, told me, you know, if you really want to build a big email list for your blog and get a lot of readers, you really got to do guest blog posts. And so I was doing guest blog posts, but what he told me to do was, at the end of the guest blog post, offer something for free. I guess I didn't realize, but I just did it just because, you know, he knows what he's doing and I respected him, so I was like, let's just try this out. And the reason it works is because at the bottom of the guest blog post, you're saying, hey, download my free ebook. And as soon as people click on that link, all they have to do is enter their name and email and they get the free ebook and they're automatically subscribed to my email list. So that's why, you know, just doing guest blogging is great for SEO, but then combining it with email marketing helped me grow my list so much faster. With everyone that reads, you know, a good percentage of them will actually give me their email address. And that's how I built my personal list so quickly. And now I have about 2,000 readers on my blog.
Nice. So do you find that just you're getting more opt-ins and people trust you because you're getting these articles written on kind of where, you know, it's kind of a trust by association, you know, that you're on Forbes, so that obviously you must be the expert, so they're going to go and opt in to get your free guide.
Yeah, absolutely. Just getting on Forbes and putting that logo itself is huge on, like, your website. If people know Forbes, they automatically identify you with Forbes, and they're like, oh, okay, well, this guy's been on Forbes, he probably knows what he's talking about, and so there is a lot of authority there as well. So people trust you more, they're more willing to buy your product.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, all right. the funny thing is it's not these big publications that have gotten me the numbers that I wanted. Like, I remember being listed on Forbes, and I got maybe like 50 to 100 new subscribers, which was great. But then luckily I was able to actually go to like niche sites. Like, one was like LauraRoeder.com, and that got me like 300 to 400 new subscribers, and had actually very much less traffic. But since it was more targeted and niche, I was able to get more subscribers. For me, it's not even about the total number of views. It's about how many more subscribers can I get. So I would actually,
right.
I would say, you know, if I was going to give one big tip here, focus on small sites that are targeted to what you're writing about. They'll be more interested in subscribing to your stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that segues nicely into my next question, which would be kind of the steps. Maybe there's 3 to 5 steps that a business like a restaurant or a professional practice should take to actually, you know, start guest blogging as quickly as today.
Yeah, let's go into that. Actually, if there's local businesses on here that are listening to this, here are my few steps that I would take. Number one, you know, you may think you're not an expert in anything. That's probably not true. You know, everyone's an expert in something. So, for example, if you're a restaurant owner and you know how to make really good pasta sauce, you're an expert in making pasta sauce. You know, if you're a plumber, a local plumber, you're probably an expert in cleaning a drain or something. Everyone is an expert in something. And so just figure out what that is. That's probably the number one thing. And you already are. You know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're definitely an expert in something. So just think about what that is and understand that that's probably your expertise. And people are willing to get more information on stuff like that. Like, whatever it is, making good pasta sauce is something I know millions of people will be interested in reading about. So first, figure out what you're an expert in. Next, you know, research who are some local outlets. Like, they could be blogs, they could be websites, they don't have to be blogs specifically, they could be anyone that has somewhat of a large audience. It could be a local paper that's online. And then so once you figure out those, like, I would make a list of 10 places. And then step number 3 is I would see if it's active. So the way I would figure out if it's active is, you know, look at their site, find out if they have any comments or Facebook likes or tweets. So my threshold is usually always if it has two, you know, I keep a really low bar at first. If it has 2 comments or, you know, 5 likes or 5 tweets, it's probably a pretty big, somewhat of a big site. And I would, if find out who the website owner is or the editor, and I would send them an email saying, like, and the email is really important. You want to make sure it's something that's really concise and they can say only yes or no to. So you tell the website owner, you know, hi, you know, first name, I'm a huge fan of your website or blog. I've been reading it for years. And then I would give, like, you know, I'm an expert in making pasta sauce, or I'm an expert in cleaning out drains in a specific manner that's really cheap and easy, and I'm going to show you how to do it. And I would list out three topics that you could write about on their site. Like, the first topic could be, like, how to make the world's best pasta sauce from your local grocery store, or how to know when the pasta sauce is ready, and offer three really good pieces, a little different each one, and then end the email with, what do you think? You know, I promise that your readers will really love this post, and sign it with your name, put your phone number in there to establish a little credibility that you're a real person, and send it off. So that's your first form of contact with a person when you do guest blogging. And then after that, wait about 3 days, and then send them a follow-up email. Be like, hey, I know you're really busy. I was just wondering what you thought of these three options. All right, do any of them interest you? And that's really how it's done. And then so hopefully they say yes or no. If they say no, that's okay. You know, about 50% of people will say no. And so luckily you have a list of 10 people that you contacted, and 5 of them will say yes. And that's really your first few steps on getting started guest blogging.
Okay, got it. And then obviously if they say yes, you've got to follow through and write that article. Do you have any tips on, you know, getting these articles written? Let's just say, you know, you reach out to 10 people, 5 say yes. Now you've got to write pretty quickly 5 articles. That may seem daunting for a business owner that doesn't have any time.
Yeah. Okay, so you just asked me a question with many other questions.
A loaded question.
Don't get overwhelmed. When I say make a list of 10 people and send all of them out in one day, I would probably like pick 5 instead, or maybe even 3, you know, because out of 3, 1 will say yes. That way you're not, like, bombarded with all these blog posts they have to hit, and then you won't be overwhelmed. So first thing is, don't take my earlier advice, which was send 10 emails. I'll just probably just stick with 3 if you're just getting started.
Start small, yeah.
You know, if you write the email personable enough, you'll probably have 100% success factor. I remember when I first started guest blogging, almost everyone said yes. So, you know, you might even be more successful. You know, send 1 or 2 emails out and you'll be fine. Now, if you don't have the time, I would kind of ask yourself, you know, why are you doing this in the first place? You know, if you don't have the time, maybe you have your priorities elsewhere. I mean, I only suggest guest blogging to people that want email addresses at a cheaper cost. So, you know, some people like Progressive Insurance, they'll go out and spend, you know, $300 to $1,000 per new contact email address that they acquire with using Google AdWords. Now, if you're like most businesses, you know, kind of strapped for cash when you're starting out, this is a great way to acquire cheap people. Like, you know, you spent, like, let's say, what is your time worth? Let's say your time is worth, you know, $50 an hour. And you spend, it takes you 3 hours to write a blog post. So that's $150. And let's say you think you can acquire, you know, even, you know, 100 email addresses. It's totally worth it if you do the math on, is it worth it to do a guest blog post for your time? I'll just do the math and say, hey, maybe it is worth it. So once you determine that it is worth it in your case, I would block out some time and just write it. I would just do it. And then for those people that say, yeah, I have the time, I just don't have the writing skills. My fundamental belief is that everyone's a good writer. I'm probably, you know, I didn't major in English or anything. I never really wrote really well. And the key is, if you're really good at what you do, if you're an expert in something, you will see the passion come out in your writing. I would just set some time, just write it down, and just have a friend overlook it or have a coworker overlook it. And I promise you that if you have the right, you know, if you're really passionate about pasta sauce, I promise it'll come out really well. Once I started writing about marketing, and I love marketing, so you could tell, like, people really enjoyed my writing just because, like, my passion was there. So does that answer your question, Phil, about the timing?
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I would add to the fact that I actually majored in engineering, in which case, you know, I didn't write any articles, I didn't have to write a thesis or anything in college, and actually hated writing. But like you said, once you find a topic that you enjoy, I genuinely enjoy writing now because, you know, I find what I'm talking about is really interesting. It's worthwhile to put on paper.
Oh yeah, I mean, just so you guys know, I get emails from Phil probably every 3 days, and I read each one because I enjoy his topic. So I can't even tell you. I didn't even know you're an engineer, Phil.
Yeah, mechanical engineering. So I just all I did was numbers, and then after college got into marketing.
Cool.
Definitely anybody can write, that's for sure.
Mhm.
You might have touched on this, but I'll ask it to you again. What is one counterintuitive secret, or maybe not so obvious secret that you've learned with all your experience doing guest blogging?
Okay, so this sounds pretty simple, but no one ever does it. And this is what led to my, you know, anything I've done in life has been because of one thing that I've learned. And it's calling, you know, I touched on it a little bit, but it's following up. I don't think I've ever got, you know, very rarely do I get a response on the first email I send, especially for guest blogging, but it's just following up. There's this really cool service that I use, and it's called followupthen.com. So it's just followupthen.com. And what I do is, you know, when I send someone an email, you can BCC, next week at followupthen.com, and Follow Up Then will notify me via email, say, hey, you need to follow up with this person, you know, it was a week ago that you emailed this person. And the follow-up, it's crazy how often it works. It really always works. Like, people are impressed when you follow up with them. He's like, oh, wow, this guy's on top of it. He really wants to talk to me. And most people never follow up, you know, like majority of people. And when you follow up, it just people actually get back to you. And, you know, I would even put follow-up in the subject line, like follow-up, colon, and then whatever the last subject line was that you sent. So that's why I have three, actually. So that's number one.
Could you repeat that URL again? Follow-up, and then what was that at the end?
Zen.com. Follow-up, Zen.
Z-E-N?
T-H-E-N.
Oh, Zen. Got it.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah.
Follow up and then THEN.com.
Okay.
All right, so I have three big lessons, big secrets that I want to share with everybody. So number one is following up, guys. I can't stress that enough. So if I was going to give one big secret, that would be it. The second one is in your guest blog post email, always offer three options. So what I found is that usually people, you know, the more options you give people, the more chances of succeeding that you have. That's the one thing I've learned. So whenever I email, like I do a cold email to a writer, I always list three things out because you never know what they think. So I always list three types of guest blog posts that I'm going to email. So like going back to the pasta sauce, you know, number one would be like how to prepare a pasta sauce. Number two would be, you know, how to eat pasta sauce. And then number three would be like the right temperature for pasta sauce. You know, three really different things that could strike an emotion to the writer. So basically, you have three options to strike an emotion.
Okay.
Does that make sense, though?
Yeah.
And then number three is always, 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 always give a free option at the bottom of a guest blog post. It could be a coupon, like free appetizer coupon. It could be, you know, a free account. It could be a free ebook. Anything free. The word free works better than anything I've ever tried in collecting an email address. So free anything is huge.
And have you ever tested at the end of the blog offering a phone number to call?
No, I haven't. Maybe I should. Are you talking about in terms of like calling someone or them calling you?
To clarify, on the guest blog, when you write the article, you're recommending definitely include something free, in which case they can click on a link and then enter their name and email. I'm just curious if you ever test, you know, get this thing for free or free coupon, just call this number.
I haven't, but I like it. I have seen people do, you know, you have to text a number, and that way they can do, like, text message-based marketing.
Yep.
I feel like it wouldn't be as good as collecting an email address. I guess it depends on the business, if you want them to call you, if you want the phone to ring or not. My thinking is, when people are on the web, they just want to click. They're just click-happy, and for someone to, like, want to get out their phone, unless they're on their mobile phone, which could be the case, it's tough for someone to, like, get out their phone and call. And also, like, just, it's kind of daunting calling someone. Like, what do you say when you call someone? I think it's a worthwhile test, but I haven't tested it.
Yeah, I only asked because I had the same assumption that it wouldn't work as well as just the email address. But something worth testing, definitely for a business that, you know, has more value in a phone call and can actually close maybe on the first call, something worth trying.
Yeah, it could be, you know, a free consultation or a call now for a free local pizza delivery. That might work in some cases.
All right, and my next question is regarding mistakes to avoid. So I'm sure, you know, you've made some mistakes as you're learning this whole system. Maybe you could share some of your own mistakes or some of the mistakes you've seen just so that anyone listening doesn't have to make those twice.
Yeah, I've made a lot of mistakes. It's all about trial and error. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I don't regret any of them. But if you guys come across any mistakes, like, don't regret any of them. It's just trial and error, and you end up getting there. The biggest mistakes I've made, number one, is not having a free offering and collecting the email address. I would just do a guest blog post, and then it's like, what's the point if you're not collecting the email address? That was the biggest mistake I've made earlier on. I probably have, like, at least double the amount of leads that I have right now if I just collect their email address. Number two, and this was huge, I think this was really huge, I would spend, like, you know, 5 to 10 hours writing blog posts for sites that just had no traffic. So it's been a complete waste of time. And what I've learned is that you can't go by these third-party sites on what their traffic is. You have to go by, you look at their last previous blog post and see what kind of activity they have. Like, if they have a few comments on it, they probably have a really big readership. Even just, like, a couple comments is huge. If they have a few tweets, like, there's some activity going on. What I would do, where I was mistaken, was I would go, like, look at Alexa to see if the blog is popular or not. And then, you know, no matter whatever the Alexa rank was, if it was good enough, I would do a blog post. But what I found out is that these sites would just have one or two big pages or big posts that would get a lot of traffic, and it wasn't their, like, actual, like, blog that was getting a lot of traffic.
Right.
So that was a mistake I made. So avoid blogs that are kind of ghost towns.
Got it. You do that, but basically you're just looking for one or two comments.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, like, if you look at the web, you know, most blogs don't have any comments. So even if there's one comment, and if it's, you know, it's not a fake comment, it definitely has a lot of traction.
Right. And you touched on the fact that you didn't have an opt-in in some of your emails or some of your guest blogs. And just to clarify, have you ever been able to edit an article once it goes live? It sounds like you can never edit it.
It's a hassle because you have to contact someone else to do it. And whenever there's, like, you can't do it yourself and there's another, like, person involved, it's like a whole thing. And you know, I've tried, and sometimes people do if you're, like, friends with them and you're good friends with them. But in general, like, it's not worth it. It's not worth the time and the effort. You'd rather just do another guest blog post on them and do it right the next time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, and did we touch on actually finding the process you use for finding guest blogs and like how to research them? Do you use Google?
Yeah, I use Google a lot. I used to use Google Blog Search a lot as well, but now Google's kind of merged the two, but you can use Google Blog Search as well. Really just look for your keywords. For local-based businesses, though, it gets a little tricky. You know, I would use a company called Everyblock. What they do is they monitor all the news articles and stuff in your local zip code. They can do it. If you're in the United States, you can do it based on, like, zip codes and little cities. And it's like hyper local news. I would look on there to see, you know, what blogs are getting a lot of traction. So if you're a local site, I would use Everyblock. If you're just an internet based business, I would use Google and just do it based on your keywords. There's a site you can also use called MixRank, MixRank.com, and you can look at what your competitors are linked on, and that's a great way to find guest blog posts to do.
Okay, do you ever search for some of your competitors' names in Google and plus maybe, you know, guest contributor or something like that to try to pull up pages where your competitors' names are listed with guest contributor? Does that make sense?
No, I haven't, but that's a great idea. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, that's something... Yeah, Pete's been using that to find some guest blogs. I've never heard of it. It's everyblog.com. Could you spell that?
Everyblock. So it's everyblock.com.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take a look at that. And with all this research, do you recommend outsourcing that, or do you actually recommend the business owners or somebody in-house do that work? Is there any risk in outsourcing it?
There's no risk in outsourcing it. I would just do it yourself. If you're just starting out, I'd just do it yourself and then figuring out if this really works for you. And then once you figure out that it works, then I would outsource it to someone really good and be willing to pay, like, because if you're just starting out, you're probably only willing to pay, like, you know, $5 to $10 an hour. And my assumption is you're going to find someone pretty crappy. So what I would do is, I mean, they could never do as good of a job as you could. So I would do it all myself at first. I would do the research, find like maybe one or two really good blogs that you could post on, and then, you know, just do it right the first time and see if it works. Like if you get like 100 new email leads and you close like 10 of them and it makes sense for you, then I'd like be like, oh wow, like I would run the math on that and be like, oh wow, you know, every new lead is worth like, you know, $500 to us. So it's totally worth hiring someone really good that we could pay like $20, $30, $40 an hour for. And this person's like really good at this. And then, you know, outsourcing it that way.
Okay. Do you find that you run out of blogs to find, and then at that point, is it mainly just maintaining that relationship and every month trying to contribute an article to the same blog?
I wouldn't actually contribute to the same blog over and over again. I mean, I would space it out every year at least. You shouldn't, I mean, if you have a good topic, I mean, I could, you know, once you start guest blogging, you can start thinking of topics all day long. And I've never had a place where I'd run out of places to guest blog posts on. Now, if you find that one post is just, one area is really good, yeah, I'll just keep hitting that up if it's really good. But I've never run into a problem where I ran out of people to guest blog posts with.
Okay, interesting.
I mean, thinking of different topics and spinning it.
And is there any reason why you'd only submit once a year?
for the same blog?
Yeah.
Yeah, once every year, maybe twice a year, mainly because if they have an active readership, you've kind of tapped every single person that reads their blog in some cases.
Got it. So it looks like they have a lot of turnover or a lot of new leads.
Yeah,
coming
if they have a lot
there.
Of turnover, it's worth it. Yeah, if they have a lot of turnover on their blog, it's worth it, you know. But, yeah, I mean, if it's working well, then, yeah, maybe you should keep hitting it up every month. I guess it's a trial and error thing for your business and what you guys do. Like, if it's a massive site, like, you know, allrecipes.com, and you're, like, selling some kind of, like, pasta ebook, then maybe it is worth, you know, doing every month because they have such a wide, wide audience.
Right.
I guess it depends.
Yeah, absolutely. And you touched on a lot of good tools here. Are there any resources that you'd like to share besides what you already gave us?
Yeah, there's two. One is MailChimp.com for email marketing. They're a partner of my site, and I think they're fantastic. I also like AWeber.com. And both these tools, what they do is they make it really easy to send email newsletters out. So once you do get, like, a new lead or you do a guest blog post, you want to make sure you keep following up with them. And both of these tools, MailChimp has a feature called autoresponders. So you can, you know, as soon as someone signs up for your email newsletter, you can queue it up so that they receive, like, you know, day one, they'll receive, like, you know, an email about your business or, like, something you've written, or, like, day two, they'll receive a coupon. You can set up, like, a sequence of emails they'll get sent over, you know, a week or a month or even a year. And AWeber has a solution called follow-ups that you can do as well. So I'd recommend those two products. And then, of course, my own business, which technically was built purely for guest blogging, what you can do is you can upload an ebook or any type of PDF file to Digio, digioh.com. And after you upload your ebook or coupon or free PDF or any type of file, we will generate a link for you that you can then paste in your guest blog post. And then when anyone clicks that link, they'll see, like, a custom landing page that you can change to enter your name and email. And as soon as they enter their name and email, they'll get the file sent to them, you know, the free ebook or the PDF or even a music file. They'll get that file, and you will get their email address. And, you know, you can sync it with any email marketing tool that you have. We're partnered up with 10 different email marketing solutions, so it's automatically synced into their account. But yeah, I would use Digio if you want to do the free ebook offer in a guest blog post that I was recommending.
Okay, cool. And you mentioned a lot about tracking. Does Digio do all that tracking? Is it integrated?
Yeah, so we'll tell you exactly what guest blog post it came through, and you can even set up different types of files. But yeah, it's all included in there.
Okay, cool. And if someone's interested, where should they go? Just digio.com?
Yeah, you can just come to digio.com, and you can set it up right there.
Okay, great.
And if you use MailChimp or AWeber or Infusionsoft, you can just go to digio.com/MailChimp or /Infusionsoft or /AWeber, whatever email marketing channel you use.
Okay, and that'll set it up so that it'll automatically link in?
Exactly. It'll be automatically synced.
Okay, cool. How does that work then? So if somebody comes in, is that a real-time syncing? So
yeah,
if I fill out the form?
Yeah, exactly. As soon as you fill out the form, it gets automatically added to your email marketing tool.
Okay, great. So was there anything that I missed, I should have asked, or any final advice you'd like to give about guest blogging?
Yeah, there's two things. Number one is guest blogging is like a secret weapon that most people don't do because it takes time, but it works so well when you do it right. It's a great way to acquire users and customers and even feedback in the early stages so quickly and so effectively. And you know, if you can do it well, you can really grow your business just on guest blogging alone. I know a lot of big bloggers that have actually given up their own blogs just to do guest blogging. And it's like a secret weapon that most people don't know about. And number two, I guess I want to offer your readers my free ebook. I wrote an ebook called 10 Paying Customers in 10 Days, where I go a lot into step-by-step templates and how to do guest blogging to get your first paying customers. So I just wanted to offer all your listeners there. So I guess maybe you can put that link in the email that gets sent, and they can just download that for free.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'll follow up with you, Rishi, to get that URL, and then I'll include the URL when I send out this interview.
Wonderful. Thank you.
While you were just talking, I did remember one thing I wanted to ask, and it seems pretty obvious, but when you're forming these relationships with these other blogs, it seems like you're building a partnership with some of them. And have you found that you can do maybe a joint venture, or have you ever teamed up with any of the blogs and to promote each other's products and services?
Yeah, it's awesome. Well, once you get a guest blog post up, you kind of establish this relationship. And this can result in so many things. You know, obviously you respect this person that you're guest blog posting for. You know, maybe you guys can do a deal where you're selling each other's ebooks or trading lists. It opens up a whole room of things you guys can do. So once you find a good partner that gets you a lot of leads, I mean, this is a great way to test the waters of how to sell your products as well. And there's a lot you can do there. I mean, this is just the start of a relationship. I mean, this is how lots of relationships start. And if you find someone that's giving you a lot of great traffic, a lot of great leads, you should further that relationship. Like, hey, how can we do more guest blog posts, or how can I sell my ebook, or how can I sell your ebook out to my client, and vice versa? That's a great question. Thanks for asking that.
Yeah, and I imagine you could do this, I guess, both ways. You could test with a guest blog, see if you get any leads, and then possibly buy advertising space on the website, or you could do the reverse, buy advertising space. If the website sells it, and if you're generating leads, you could possibly backdoor it and just do a free guest blog and generate the same amount of leads for free.
Yeah, exactly. People always say, oh, networking is the biggest thing, and this is like a great way to network. And the reason why it's so huge is like right here, you can get customers for free. You don't have to acquire them via Google. You can you can just do a free guest blog post, offer them something relevant, and you can get customers. It's a great model.
And the final question I will ask then is if you ever pay to guest blog. Have you ever, or would you ever?
Have I ever? At this point in my career, no. Would I ever? Absolutely. Because, you know, it's like a guest blog post could be like a paid, you know, if you ever look at any magazines now, you'll always find, like Business Week, for example, you'll always find like a special advertisement section. And what's great about these sections is that they read like an actual article. Like it looks like an actual article by Business Week editors. So it just seems like more authoritative. So if you found the right blog, like let's say if you're selling some like analytics software, and like there was like a really good analytics, you know, talking about like analytics thought, like analytics problems, you could do like a guest blog post on a specific problem people are having and how your software solves that problem. Like, yeah, that's worth so much money. It's totally worth it to acquire customers that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like an advertorial, like you mentioned, in a regular magazine.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Very effective.
Very, very effective.
Okay, good. Well, those are all the questions that I have. Anything else with you?
No, thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it. And if anyone has any questions, feel free to email me. My email is just rishi@digioh.com, digioh.com.
Yeah, and I'll include the link to the 10 paying customers in 10 days, and I'll also include your contact info in case anyone wants to follow up.
Okay, wonderful.
All right, well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with me today, Rishi, and gave us some great advice here about guest blogging.
Yeah, I hope so. Good luck, everyone.